Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast.
We're your hosts.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista. So this week, we're doing something special.
A very special episode of Disney A.
Dun, dun, dun. I don't know.
We have some special guests.
Yes. You guys can say hi.
Hello.
Hello. We have Trevor Christensen himself, El Mule.
El Mule.
The author and artist behind our very special theme song.
That's right.
And his lovely wife, Taylor.
Hello.
So we're going to do some chatting and some Disney stuff and all that kind of fun stuff. Before we get to any of that, though, there's a few traditions we have here on Disney A that we always, always talk about. What If Countdown? We're at 2 days. It's coming up this week. It's super exciting. We're not going to get to watch it right away, but we hope you do, because it looks awesome.
Yeah, we're going to be gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it looks cool. Mm. So you should watch it. And the other thing we always talk about is, what are you drinking? So I think our guests got to go first. Trevor, what are you drinking?
So what I am currently consuming is what is called ranch water, and it's a West Texas drink, but there is a place, family in Alberta, right here at home, where they are making it, and it's, to my knowledge, the only place in Canada you can find it. But it's basically for those people who like margaritas. It's hard seltzer with tequila and lime, so it's just like three ingredients, and it's delicious.
Okay, so delicious is a strong word.
I absolutely enjoy it. It's a very good drink, so... Cheers.
Yeah.
Taylor, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Moosehead Radler, strawberry lemon flavored, and it's delicious.
And I'm drinking the exact same thing. Yes. Yeah. It's refreshing. It's been freaking hot out.
Yeah.
Tastes good.
And I'm being super unexciting, but I'm having just a Coors Banquet.
Ooh.
Just like a plain old beer
wow.
today, because it's been really hot.
So, yeah, okay, yeah. Fair.
I always still call them the Coors Banquet, but I guess they changed the name to the Coors Original.
Oh, I guess so.
It is, yes. It does say Coors Original.
But yeah, you just think
I always
Banquet.
I always call it the Banquet or the Buckskin or the Yellow Jack.
The original Coors, not Coors Light.
Yes.
Coors Light is lame.
Oh.
It's not good.
And Trevor, you were talking about ranch water, and you said they have a new one coming out that actually sounds good. This one I'm like, no, because Tequila and I aren't friends.
Mm-hmm. So they do have one now called Sweet Water, and I think they just released it this last week. But it's basically seltzer, again, with vodka and mango flavoring in it.
Mm. See, that sounds good.
And sounds pretty good to me.
Tequila does not, but that sounds good.
The tequila one is like the most refreshing drink ever. I like it.
Okay, and then we also kind of talked just about a nerd thing that's catching our attention this week that we're kind of interested in. We didn't give you a heads up on that, so I'll start with Brandon. Brandon, what's your current nerd thing?
Oh, you're starting with me.
Yes, okay. I am.
Well, we're going golfing tomorrow.
Apparently.
And that's a bit nerdy for me. I haven't been golfing in a couple of years now. But I got the clubs ready to go, mm-hmm. and I'm excited.
Good. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Trevor, what's your current nerd thing? Do you have a current nerd thing?
I don't really know. I never gave it much thought.
I guess sort of recently,
I imagine this is about as nerdy as it gets for me, I got a drone, so I've been enjoying flying and filming with a drone.
I think you should shout out the photography site that you have.
Yes. So I do have a photography videography site where I do lots of work, and it's called TrevorC_imagery on Instagram and Facebook and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I've done music videos, I've done branding for companies and photos and wedding photos and family photos and
yeah, now all people can stuff. Have family photos and wedding photos again. That's kinda cool.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm jealous of your drone, and that's sounds really cool. So good nerd thing.
Yeah, that's a nerd thing. Yeah, Taylor, do you have a nerd thing you're currently into? What were you watching today?
Oh, RuPaul. No. Yeah. RuPaul's Drag Race. It's my favorite.
You're
show
a big
ever.
Fan.
Big yeah. fan. I'm currently in like a fantasy football thing.
That
for
sounds
it.
Pretty nerdy, actually.
I picked my two favorite girls. One of them is still in there for All Star 6. So yeah, that is my nerdy thing.
How far into the season is it? Like how?
There's six girls left.
Okay.
So I think they're like halfway through.
So the fact you still have one standing, that's a good
yeah
good indication.
Yeah, my second girl was like the only one left, but nice. She disappointed. No, I'm just kidding. Really rooting for the one girl. It's Sonique Love, just so everyone knows.
Well, now when I watch it, I'll have to watch out for her.
Yeah.
I love RuPaul.
Yeah, it's fun.
Too,
it is fun.
Yeah. I kind of love the idea of having a pool about that.
My kind of sports.
Yeah, that's right. That's the kind of sports I feel confident betting on. And I don't know what my nerd thing is this week. I think, well, I've been basically just doing, I haven't talked about it a lot, but I do a lot of swimming over the summer and everything. And I haven't really talked about that yet. And I'm not going to be talking about it next week. So that's going to be my current nerd thing.
You got into the theme of the Olympics with our last episode.
Exactly.
And you've been at the pool.
That's right.
Hitting the lanes.
Sounds like I'm bowling.
It does sound like you're bowling.
Bowling would be a little bit cooler.
Also,
you get better. You get better shoes when you go bowling.
That is true. That is much better shoes. And I think that brings us to the news. Disney A News Update. All right, Brandon, you have a news item today.
Yeah, well, so we're going to be pretty light on the news. We're recording this ahead of time sort of thing, but it did come out shortly after we recorded our last episode.
Of course, literally that evening.
Big news, Disney Company is going to require all of their employees to be fully vaccinated.
Yes.
So it's like, it's no longer optional for if you're going to be an employee of Disney to be vaccinated.
Non-union ones at this point.
Right.
Because they want to talk to the union and then they want to expand to that.
Yeah, I mean, the union's a whole different kettle of fish, of course, but yeah.
Yeah.
So I found that fascinating.
They have 60 days to get vaccinated if they haven't yet. And then if not, bye.
Bye.
They do say there will be certain exemptions, so of course medical exemptions and so on. But that's the way it goes. We talked a lot about the mask policy coming back into play.
Mm-hmm.
Florida's not looking great. California's not looking great. We're still postponing our trip, apparently.
Yeah.
I think that takes us to our main topic.
What's in the bag?
It's not a head, it's just content. Disney A grab bag.
Cool, okay.
Main topic.
Yes, so, like we said, top of show, we have some special guests with us. This is super exciting.
It is very exciting. It's the first guest we've ever had on
That's
the show.
That's right. Are you excited, Trevor?
I'm excited.
Taylor, are you excited?
Yeah, so excited.
So we're going to keep this really casual. Basically, like, I don't want to sit here and interview or interrogate you or anything like that.
Let me get the bright light. What do you remember? No. No. So I think we're going to start off. Trevor, you were kind enough to compose and arrange our theme song. I want to talk to you a little bit about that and, like, what your inspirations were, because it fits the Disney theme quite well, I feel.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was kind of like a little bit of a conscious listening to. There was a parade that when we went, the last time Krista and I had gone to Disneyland together in a family, was the 50th anniversary.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
The 50th anniversary.
Do they know that Trevor's your brother?
Well, if not, they do now.
Oh, sorry.
No,
that's fine.
Yes, we are
I
siblings.
Think I may have mentioned that at one point. So yes, because we do have different last names, I guess that isn't obvious. Yeah. Yes, Trevor is my brother. Okay.
It's obvious to me.
Okay, so yeah, it was for the 50th. We also talk about the 50th anniversary.
And that
today.
Was like one of like the coolest years of going, because like I just remember it was like at an age for me where it was like really cool to see all the decorations for the 50th anniversary and stuff, and seeing like the cool things and all the attractions. But they had that parade going on, and I don't know if there was the name of the parade, but I remember the song for it was that at the happiest place on earth.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And I remember like how that song sounded in my head, and so basically just when I did the theme song to this, it didn't pull any melodies or anything from that parade, but it was sort of a similar key and similar sort of vibe to that
That's
parade.
Cool. That was
song.
Like the thing that was in your mind.
Yeah. So that was the kind of song I was kind of thinking. I'm like, well, this will be kind of cool to go to, because then I can do it in like a band. It's not like an orchestra thing. It's like I can do it with play the drums on it, guitars, bass, and everything. And then that's just where I'll be able to fit in that kind of middle of the road sort of thing. So
that's super cool, man. The 50th anniversary. I was literally just talking about this today.
You were. Well, and you have the fancy ears from that.
Yes, so. I was on my 50th anniversary golden sequined ears. Trevor actually bought me something on that trip that we still have on our fridge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, do you know, and he bought it with you in mind. I don't know if Trevor even remembers this. It is a magnet, and it is because I really, really, really love Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, yes, I do remember that. Yes.
At the time, this was before it was super popular. It was hard to find Nightmare stuff. And Trevor, which was actually, like, really nice of him, but before I was going home, he bought me a Nightmare Before Christmas magnet, and it has Jack Skellington's body, and his face switches. It's one of those ones where it switches the emotions.
Yeah, it's a dial. You can move his face.
And he said that I should change it every morning, so when Brandon wakes up before he goes to work, or at the time it was probably school, quite frankly, or anything like that, he knows whether to avoid me or not. If there's like an angry face on it. And yeah, it really stuck out. Yeah,
I did sort of forget about that until now.
Now you're like, oh yeah, no, I totally did that. Do you remember that?
The one thing I do remember is Brandon showing up at the Disneyland gates and he's wearing those fairy wings.
He was wearing my Tinkerbell wings.
He was wearing the Tinkerbell wings and he was running at us full force.
I was going to have a magical day.
It terrified me.
How old were you?
Well, what was that, 2005 that we were
in? 2008.
2008, yeah.
Oh, wait, no, that was 2008, so we're thinking of two different things, because 2005 was the 50th anniversary, yeah.
Right.
2008 was Brandon and the Fairy Wings.
Okay. Yes. So 2005, though, would have been...
That was the 50th.
Yeah, so I'd have been
12 or 11.
Yeah.
You're young.
Yeah. I would have been 12, I guess.
Yeah. Good age to go to Disney.
That's a perfect age to go to Disney. That was actually great. I remember that year distinctly because I went with Trevor and our sister Brittany, and we just got to, like, go on all the attractions for the first time as a family.
Yeah, it was the first time that Brittany was, being the youngest sibling, was, like, okay with going on pretty much all the rides, too.
We didn't have to do a parent swap
or anything. Yeah, there was a couple of rides that she didn't do out of choice, but... Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't, we didn't have to worry about that. Yeah.
It wasn't a parent swap situation.
No. So I distinctly remember our Nightmare Before Christmas fridge magnet that we still have on our fridge is like fair warning for you. So you knew whether or not I was scary and whether or not you had to avoid me for the day.
Yeah, that's an awesome memory and a great inspiration for the song.
That's true. Yeah. It's a good inspiration for
the
song.
We're very fortunate to have that custom theme song. So
absolutely.
We really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you, Trevor.
So then the other reason that we want to talk to you guys is because you're, like, literally the only people we know that have ever been to Disneyland Paris / Euro Disney or whatever they want to call it.
Was it Disneyland Paris when
you
guys went?
It's Disneyland Paris.
Yeah, I know it isn't. It was when you went, too? Okay.
We went in 2013.
Oh, okay.
That's when we went there.
Ah, that's a good year. What all did you do on your Europe trip?
Oh, Europe?
For
that
two
makes
months.
Sense.
We went to Europe for 2 months, and we toured Europe, and we toured the United Kingdom. And after we toured Europe, our last stop was Disneyland Paris. So.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, we were on, like, a tour thing that was, like, a really cool, like, slow-paced tour through, I can't remember, Kentucky or something like that.
Yeah.
Was the name of the company. So it was 18 to 35-year-olds only on this tour thing.
Oh, shoot, we're aged out of that now.
But it was
to go in the elderly tour.
Yeah. It was a really cool tour that we did. We got to see, like, a bunch of countries and all the places you want to stop in Europe. And then our last place was Paris, and I remember them saying, like, your three options are you can get in the bus and we'll take you back to London where the pickup point was, or we can take you to London to Heathrow Airport, or you can stay in Paris. And then so we stayed in Paris. And
that seems like a good choice.
And we were kind of like, you know, let's stay in Paris, like, one or two more days. Like, I'd like to see Disneyland Paris and go there and check it out. And there was one kind of mistake that I did sort of booking.
Okay.
Was we were very adamant on making sure we had flights back from Paris to London, because our flights home were through London after a few couple more weeks or whatever. So we wanted to make sure we made it back close to where we had to, like, be able to actually get back to Canada from. But our mistake made was that we booked these airplane tickets. And then when we went to buy tickets for Disneyland Paris, we had booked our plane tickets for, like, 2 days later. So we're only going to spend 2 days in Disneyland Paris. And then the deal through Disneyland Paris was Canadians can get pay for 2 days and get a third day free at the park. And then so I kind of goofed up on that part.
At least you didn't lose money. You just didn't get the free stuff.
Yeah. It was just like a bummer because like, oh, we could have had like one more full day at this place. And it probably like the plane tickets probably wouldn't have been really any different. Maybe a little bit pricier, but not much different. And
it just happened.
Stuff, so.
Yeah. One super cool thing about that trip before we dive into Disneyland Paris is when we were in London, I happened to follow Prince on Twitter, and one night Prince tweeted, "Surprise concert at this place, be there." And it was 20 minutes away from our hostel, so we got to see Prince live.
Wow.
That is so cool.
What was the O2 Club, right?
Yeah, O2 Club, it was Third Eyed Girl featuring Prince.
Yeah. So it was basically he's been known to do this where the band that he had hired for his backing band for his like tours, he would bring them out and do these surprise shows as like kind of like in these clubs. So he's basically prepping for the tour. So this was his backing band. So it was three girls, a Third Eyed Girl. Those three women in this band, and then he just like played everything. He played everything, and I remember that concert was like over 3 hours long, and it was in a club like in front of maybe 3,000 people or something. Was like
yeah,
the capacity.
It was very, very cool.
Yeah, that's such a cool story. Right?
Yeah.
And it wasn't that many years later
that he passed away. Yeah.
It was only like 2 or 3 years later, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know when he passed away, but.
But I just remember being like, this is like the one, I've never seen him before. I'm like, this is the one guy I would love to see again. If he ever comes to Canada, I'm going to watch him. I'll travel to Vancouver to go watch him, or Toronto, or whatever. I'll fly. And then he never did come after that.
Yeah, but what a cool way to get to see him. Yeah. Would that be a highlight from that trip, or was there anything else that really stood out as an awesome? Yeah.
There was a lot of highlights from that trip, I think. But the Prince thing was like a once-in-a-lifetime thing for us. Like that was.
Well, yeah, it's something you can't.
Literally can't.
You can't plan. Yeah. You can't. You,
and
we
you
could not
plan it.
It was a total fluke. On we saw like a Twitter thing that said, or like an article saying like Prince played private show in London or whatever the night before, and then it was just like he announced it on Twitter, and then so Taylor was like watching Twitter in case he did like another night because there was rumors that he might do a second night of it. Or something.
And we waited 3 hours in line, and when we got to the front, it cost us £10.
Oh my goodness,
£10 each. £10, but the number on the ticket said £120 or something.
For like
£110 per ticket, and we're like, oh, we can't afford this. And he's like, no, just go up to the cashier, whatever, go up there. And then we're like, well, we can't afford it. And like, no, just go up there. Go up there. And then we get up there. And they're like, oh, no, it's only £10. It's just that for legal sake, we have to put £110. So Prince covered the entire difference
on the whole club.
So out of all those people, he covered the extra £100 or whatever, apparently.
For 100 times X number of people.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
Yeah. That is a good memory. And like you said, something that you can't recreate, something you can't plan for, something that...
Yeah.
One of those stories that is.
And I mean, Disneyland Paris was kind of the same thing. It was just very in the moment. Let's do this. We were also young kids, too, so we probably would have planned it more to this day. But it was part of the fun of it.
Yeah. It was something that I knew I wanted to do. And then, like, it was kind of like talking to Taylor. I'm like, if we can make this happen, I want to go to Disneyland Paris since we're going to be there. And the option is there to do it. But I'm like, it's also going to be tough to be able to say we can afford it or not because we're on a 2-month trip to Europe. Hardly much in our bank accounts in the first place. So
yeah.
That was the first time Trevor and I had been dating for very long, and I actually was supposed to go to this Europe trip with a girl, like a different friend, with a girlfriend, and she bailed on me. So I was like, well, Trevor, are you ready for this? And he went with me, and now we're married.
Apparently, so, he was ready for this.
It worked out good. That's when I first realized how big of a Disney freak he was
how important
it was for him to go to Disneyland Paris. So.
I do not like the term Disney freak.
It's a slur, I guess.
We're Disney nerds.
We're Disney nerds. We're just not Disney aficionados.
Trevor, do you approve of Disney nerd?
I'm a Disney nerd.
Yeah.
Disney connoisseurs.
Yes. I like aficionados.
Oh, that's great.
I like that.
Okay, so like you've been to Disneyland several times.
How many times have you been? Do you know off the top of your
head?
Or would it be hard to count?
It'd be hard for me to count because there was a time when even going when we were younger.
Yeah.
Like, because I imagine we went before going with grandma and grandpa on their anniversary.
That was when I was 12. You were definitely long. I have memories of you. It was, oh, okay. I have an important tip. Try not to go on Independence Day, because that's when we went.
Well, we had gone one other time since on July 4th.
Yes.
And I remember doing that, and I actually thought it was really cool, but we were older.
Yeah.
And then, like, it was kind of a thing. And I was actually, I think, one of the very first years that we had gone recently after they opened up the World of Color show.
Oh, okay.
And so that was also, like, really cool, because July 4th, I got to watch World of Color.
That's cool.
And, like...
Yeah,
that was, and they probably also had fireworks.
Maybe. No, the July 4th, I remember everyone standing up to watch like the parades and everything like that. Maybe easier when you're older, but at the time, you wouldn't, I don't know if you remember this or not, you were a toddler.
Mm-hmm.
You were preschool. I think you were 3 or 4.
Yeah.
And you wanted to walk everywhere, which is hard when you have that many people in tiny little proximity. And so we kept having him, don't do this. We kept having him, like, walk along, like, the flower planters, or, like, we're going to pick you up and, like, lift you and carry you to this point. So otherwise you would get trampled because you were so small.
The one thing I do remember on that trip, though, like, is, like, the very vague memories is for some reason, I don't know where it would have been, but I remember eating, like, and sitting on what maybe was, like, the plaza tables or something like that with Grandpa. And I remember going and laughing. I still laugh about this. Going down on Pirates of the Caribbean with Grandma Faco.
Grandma loved pirates.
And the waterfall at the beginning of the ride, when you get out of the bayou area, and she would scream. And it was just like hilarious.
It was the biggest roller coaster ever. She would just scream
crazy. That's adorable.
And arms in the air, and just. And then she'd get off and be like, okay, so we could do pirates again.
That was the one ride that Grandma approved of. And it had a little bit of a thrill in there for her that she's not used to. She enjoyed that one.
That is one of my most fond memories of that.
So you're a veteran of Disneyland.
Yeah.
I would say so.
I don't know. And so what I want to know is, like, comparing the two, what's better about Euro Disneyland Paris?
Okay, so there's kind of a little bit of an in-between. It's tough to say, but I still really prefer the entrance into Disneyland just because of it's a nostalgic thing to me and everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I will say that the entrance into Disneyland Paris is like crazy, crazy beautiful, like architecture and stuff. And they have they have that whole that it's kind of, what would you say that building is kind of resembled to? It's a grand hotel. Like, you can actually stay. It's like a hotel.
Oh, really? Right in the park.
But you walk through, and it's like right at the gates when you walk in. And I remember going through and like just, it was the most crazy, nice, I don't know what the word is. You're the English teacher.
Most like impressive.
Extravagant.
Oh, okay,
yes, extravagant entrance I've seen out of it. The one thing... I did like some things about the rides, but I still am in a preference towards the Disneyland thing because, like, the original pirates and stuff being there. The pirates is kind of interesting there because everything was, like, in reverse to what Disneyland in Anaheim is. So you go through and it's, like, you see the town burning scene and stuff like that is all first. The lineup to the Pirates of the Caribbean ride was remind me more of Indiana Jones because it was like through the caves and stuff, which
that's
was really interesting.
Cool.
So it was a cool queue.
It was more of a laid out, fleshed out queue for sure.
There's less people in Disney Paris and less shorter lines, I guess, too.
Yeah,
which sounds like a positive to me. But like, did it suffer for energy then?
Yeah.
Oh, it definitely. Well, and then
they were like. When did they close? They closed earlier and like...
Yeah, like we were only there until like 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock at night and then they closed.
And they closed.
Right.
Yeah.
It was their off season too. Like it was raining the whole time we were there so nobody enjoys... Taylor, the first thing we had to do was go and buy her Mickey Mouse...
Boots.
Rubber boots.
I've been to Disneyland 3 times. Twice since I've met Trevor. And then I always get like Mickey ears there, but when we went to Disneyland Paris, my souvenir was rubber boots.
Because it was raining.
Yeah. You don't really have that problem in California.
No.
Yeah. Florida maybe, but not California.
Yeah. So much quieter. Lower energy, is it like problematic, or would you say it's worth the lower energy to have the lower crowds?
I'm not against Disneyland Paris. I think it's a very different experience.
Yeah.
I think it's a different experience. It's cool to go there.
Okay.
I don't think it's like a negative thing that the fact that the energy is maybe a little bit less there because it's not so.
Because it's not sunny out. It's literally the environment. Yeah. It's not hot weather.
Right.
Off season we went, so. And I think with Trevor, too, he really likes the history of Disneyland.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's a big, big sucker for that stuff.
Well, so. I mean, it's the park that Walt built, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, yeah, I'm there, too.
Okay, here's a question for you. That aside, if you were going to take one ride that was exclusive to Disneyland Paris, I know they don't have that many that are exclusive, but if you were to transplant one and put it in Disneyland, which one would you pick?
Thunder Mountain.
I wouldn't get rid of the Thunder Mountain in Disneyland, though.
I would have both.
So I have seen videos of that Thunder Mountain. I think it looks amazing.
It's crazy cool. Like you start off on the proper side of the river with the Phantom Manor and everything. But then you go through.
I do want to ask about that.
Yeah, and they take you under, but you go under the river, and then you like the majority of the ride is all on like an island. So I'm not against like the Pirate's Lair on Tom Sawyer's Island or anything, but if they were to do something with that, I would say maybe that would be the one thing. Like
right.
I'm not against
two
it.
Two Thunder Mountains.
Yeah.
In Disney?
But I would have two Thunder Mountains.
Two Thunder Mountains.
But I would have two Thunder Mountains.
I'm with you there. You can never have too many roller coasters, as far as I'm concerned.
You said before, Brandon, that you think Big Thunder Mountain might be the perfect attraction at Disney.
I agree. And well, so an example of that is, so in Florida, they're actually building the Tron ride, which was Shanghai Disney's replacement for Space Mountain. And they're just plopping it down right next to Space Mountain in Florida.
Yeah, so
there's some precedence there.
Yeah, you could have two Big Thunder Mountains.
Interesting. We could do that. It's a possibility.
There you go, Trevor.
the other one that I did I really enjoy, like, the Space Mountain in Disneyland. It's not one of my favorite rides by any means, but the Space Mountain in Disneyland Paris was it was a more of a thrill ride because you start off similar to how, I guess it's the Incredicoaster now,
mm-hmm.
but it was, I always still call it California Screamin'.
Right.
But how you start off on a standstill, and then they actually launch
the
you
launch,
off.
Yeah.
The launch pad kind of thing. And then so Space Mountain in Disneyland Paris was like that, but you're on a hill already, so it like throws you up a hill, and then you like go right down. And then they actually have like loops and stuff in the Space Mountain.
Yeah, it goes upside down.
So it's way more of a thrill ride.
Yeah, so they themed that one off of Jules Verne, From the Earth to the Moon. And there's the famous old black and white movie where they have the whole thing where they literally shoot people in a cannon.
Yeah.
And a little bullet, and then they hit the moon. That's the whole theme of that ride.
It looks so good.
And pretty much the whole Tomorrowland kind of area in Disneyland Paris is all Jules Verne themed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've talked before about how we think Tomorrowland and Disneyland is suffering a little bit because it needs some love. It's neglected. It's not super, like, it could be much better than it is.
Yeah.
Maybe they need to take a page from Disneyland Paris, is what we're saying.
One thing I would really like to see Tomorrowland and Disneyland to be like is the 1950s version of
the
future.
We've totally talked about
that. That's
this.
The thing. Like, I would love to see people like in straight up like tinfoil suits, pretty much.
Yeah.
And like fishbowls for helmets.
Yes.
You do retro future, and it works so much better.
You
can't
atomic
do
age. Future. Okay.
Well, you can. By the time you're finished building the whatever, it's aged out already.
Do they have a Tomorrowland in Disney?
They do, but it is called something else.
It's like Adventureland.
Yeah. And it's themed after like Jules Verne and H.G. Wells and then all this.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of a retro future sort of thing.
So maybe people like
thing.
That is what.
Yeah, I like the Atomic
Age. Discoveryland.
Discoveryland.
Yeah,
right.
That's what it is. Yeah.
What about you, Taylor? If you could take an attraction from Disneyland Paris and plunk it down in Disneyland, do you agree with Trevor's assessment or would you pick something different?
Well, yeah, I like the Thunder Mountain. I don't know a specific attraction, but my favorite, for sure, Pixar movie is WALL-E.
Yeah. Oh, so you want a WALL-E thing.
But so they had so much WALL-E stuff.
Really?
In Paris. Yeah, and I love that.
I'm surprised. I would have thought, like, as a Pixar film, they would love Ratatouille because it's set in France.
When we were there, they were building the Ratatouille
ride, the attraction,
and they hadn't finished yet. And they're also still built. I don't think we did the Crush one from Finding Nemo.
Mm.
They were building like Crush's roller coaster kind of ride there too. And they never.
Yeah.
There was things. The thing that was kind of disappointing was when we went there because it was off season. There was closures there. So we never got to do Indiana Jones and the Temple of Peril, I think it's called, okay. Or, which is more of a roller coaster themed one instead of like the one in Disneyland, California. But so there was a few things that we didn't get a chance to do, but we did frequent the Phantom Manor and Big Thunder and Space Mountain. And we did the walk through the castle was really interesting because they have
that's a beautiful it's an castle. Actual
yeah it's a really nice
yeah,
castle.
They spent a lot of money on that castle.
Yeah, and it's on like a hill and stuff. I remember like the landscaping around and it's on this hill, so it makes it look like it's the castle on top of a hill kind of thing. And then you walk through the castle and they have the Dragon's Lair kind of
that's
thing
cool
going on, which was really interesting. So
you would want more of the Wally stuff to come over.
Yeah, I just remember that's a memory. Trevor has such a better memory than I have. He's like saying all these memories. I'm like, oh yeah. But okay. I remember Wally's statue there, so that's what I
you're like. I want to be Wally again. Okay.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, I agree with you. Wally's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I totally am intrigued by that castle because that looks amazing.
It's
and
a gorgeous castle.
I'm a sucker for all the Disney castles. They put the lighting of all the castles up on, I think it was Disney Plus or maybe like YouTube, and I was like sitting there crying, so you know.
And so you mentioned Phantom Manor.
Yes, I want to talk about that.
Compare that to the Haunted Mansion, because like that's one of your favorite rides, Krista.
Yes.
It's the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
I love it as well.
I love the Haunted Mansion. I have three favorite rides, and Haunted Mansion is definitely one of them, and we've talked before about how the Haunted Mansion has changed the most from location to location, depending on what locations...
Cultural differences,
yeah,
et cetera, et cetera.
Like, for example, you aren't going to be dealing with, you know, ghosts in China the same way that you are in the States. And France was the same way, and basically they got to France and were like, well, we have, like, actual catacombs people can visit, so, you know, we can't do it the same way. So tell me about the Phantom Manor.
So, do you remember the Phantom Manor at all, Taylor? You remember going through it all?
I remember going through it, but yeah, not details.
So the interesting thing about the Phantom Manor was, of course, like, the Haunted Mansion in Disneyland is, like, the perfect fit for New Orleans Square.
Cause yes.
It's literally just, like, it's like a New Orleans mansion kind of thing. Like, you picture that kind of building. But it's funny that in Disneyland Paris, the Phantom Manor is kind of, like, actually, like, a more of an Old West theme to it. So it's got, like, the American settling of the West, like, Wild West sort of mansion theme to it. So it's funny that that's what they decided to go with in Disneyland Paris. It's still really cool, and the ambiance of it all is, like, really interesting, and it's quite a cool theming to it, but... And I actually remember because it was kind of up on a hill, too. So when you're walking up in the queue area, you're kind of going around. And they had a lot more of the landscaping around. And the vegetation was, like, a lot more, like, an overgrown thing. So, like, the grass was long. And it looked like an abandoned house. An old abandoned, like, Western house.
Yeah, well, I think we saw something. Yeah. The one in Disneyland Paris is the only one that actually looks abandoned.
Yeah,
because they wanted to make the original Haunted Mansion look like a haunted house on the outside, and Walt was like, no.
Yeah,
it's going to look nice on the outside, and you can do whatever you want on the inside.
Well, yeah. Actually, I think what he said was, "We'll take care of the outside, and we'll let the ghosts take care of the inside."
It's a good quote.
Yeah. So, but Phantom Manor, you said, looks kind of dilapidated, kind of falling apart. Oh, cool. Yeah. Okay, so we actually have some pictures up here. Yeah, okay. Like shutters falling down.
It's got the broken shutters.
Yeah, that
et cetera,
looks
et cetera.
Quite creepy.
Yeah, it definitely looks like a haunted house from the outside.
If you've never seen this, like Google pictures because
it's
it definitely
cool.
looks.
Yeah, it's cool.
And I do remember the Phantom Manor, the entrance to that attraction was very close to the where you take off on the Big Thunder. So, like, it's within, like, you can go back and forth between those two rides. And
sounds like a good place to be to me.
Part of the Old West theme they went with for Phantom.
Yeah, so it was more of an Old West theme for sure. Like, it was kind of like the frontier land. Phantom Manor is in, like, the frontier land.
Yeah, they don't have a New Orleans Square in Disneyland
Paris. Because it's in Paris.
Yeah, that would, like, yeah, New Orleans is, like, nouveau French. That wouldn't make any sense to have it in actual France.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, and it was a really cool I don't know. I really liked Phantom Manor. I don't know if I liked it better than Haunted Mansion by any means. I think Haunted Mansion is still superior in my mind.
It's tough to compare to the original.
Yeah.
It always is.
Yeah, anything that, you know, the original in the original park is pretty tough to beat.
Right.
There are things that, like, a lot of people will argue is better than the original, like
where they had more room to build a certain attraction. But
of course, like quite frankly, Big Thunder Mountain going onto an island is pretty awesome.
Oh yeah, it was definitely like a really cool attraction and stuff to do it that way. But it was, I still have a soft spot for the original.
Of course, yeah. Of course. I don't know, so I just thought of another memory with Trevor and Disney.
Okay.
Okay, so when we were, it might have been when we were 2008, it might have been in 2005, I can't really remember. Taylor, you said that you realized Trevor was a Disney nerd. I used to make up trivia for Trevor, specifically for Trevor. It was for Brittany and Trevor as well, but Trevor was the one who would, like, stump me sometimes. Little booklets for either the drive down or the flight down about Disney trivia that for him to do, because I was being, like, forever the teacher, I guess.
You were also huge into scrapbooking at that time, too, so it was, like, a scrapbook
of Disney trivia to keep him, like, thinking about it, because I was like, oh, it is totally reasonable to expect him to know these random Disneyland facts.
He knows them now.
That's right. Well, he did then, too. Yeah, he did very well with that, too.
So you basically always been a Disney nerd.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of Disney nerds, I want to know a couple favorite Disney things. So, Taylor, would you say you are a converted Disney nerd or not yet?
No, I'm a converted Disney nerd. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, she sometimes gets in the way by me, but...
No, I don't!
I don't know.
Trevor is, like, on another level. Literally, we'll, like, be driving somewhere and he'll have Disneyland music playing
that
on
seems
his
like
playlist.
I don't understand why that's weird.
I mean, you could just turn on Magic of the Mouse radio.
Yeah, that's true.
And hear Disneyland
true,
music.
That's right, yeah.
Well, I love it.
Hashtag... promotion.
Yeah. Hey, Magic the Mouse Radio is great, although you can also listen to Disney World music and the other parks as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah, I actually find that awesome.
I think when you marry into this family, you're
yes.
No choice. But I also come from a family of Disney nerds. So,
it was an easy fit
and,
for you.
And they taught, I went to Disneyland when I was 12 with my grandparents, and I don't think I like, it was just like a good time, whatever. And then I went to Disneyland again when I met Trevor, and I was 20, and I was doing Disneyland wrong when I was 12. He knew the timing of the fast passes, like restaurants to go to. He knew everything.
Well, yeah, there's a way to do it. And you know which bathrooms are not backed up at certain times, you don't go that way to get to that attraction, you go the back way because it's actually
exactly.
It will be a curveball because I haven't been there since they built
Galaxy's Edge
and stuff.
Galaxy's Edge,
so that's gonna
it
be a curveball.
Your whole routine off.
Avengers Camp, it
they've gone crazy.
Yeah,
they've gone crazy since the last time I was there. Which was, I guess when I was there, was like, do you remember the year that we went last? No, I can't remember what year.
3-4 years ago?
2017?
2018?
Yeah, it'd have been about 2017 or something. Yeah.
Okay, so just previous to Galaxy's Edge a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was talk of it. Nothing confirmed,
okay.
But there was talk of it.
I know you haven't been to Cars Land even yet, have you?
Nope, sure haven't.
And that was like one of the better additions they've ever done.
So I have a question. When you were there with Cars Land, were you there for the turning on of the lights when they sing, when they do Shaboom Shaboom?
I haven't.
That's on
that
my
yet.
Disney bucket list, is to be it's a very certain time. You can look up the time, but it's the technical time for a sunset, whatever the day is. So, of course, it's a moving target. And if you know, I'm not the biggest Cars fan in the world, but there is the scene where Shaboom Shaboom plays, like Life Will Be a Dream, and it's when all the neon lights go on. So every night at sunset, when they turn on the neon lights and they play that song over the loudspeakers in Cars Land. So that is my tip for that's on my Disneyland bucket list. To be fair, for that.
I haven't seen that happen yet, but
next time.
Because well, a lot of the time what we do too is like at Radiator Springs Racer is actually like a great attraction, and it's super fun ride to go on.
I'm looking forward to that one.
It is actually so good, and they did such a good job doing that. Of course, when you go to Cars Land, it's like it's kind of that's the one attraction, and then there's like the couple of the younger kids attractions that are still
the
really
roadsters,
fun.
Yeah,
but
and the cozy cones. Yeah. Don't forget the cozy
cones.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, I really enjoy going to Flo's Diner.
Yeah.
It's like one of the better. That's one of the better lunch places to go to in California.
I like that.
It's just super cool because I think the movie itself is all about a specific place, so they've literally
just recreated
that special place.
It's eerie to like go in there and be like, they actually like nailed this.
You're in the Cars movie.
Yeah. That's why I'm really excited to go to Galaxy's Edge, because I want to be in Star Wars.
Yeah. Right.
And I think that's when Disney's at their best, when they
do the theming.
The theming, like super hardcore theming, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Strong attention to detail. So you found out you were doing Disneyland wrong. That was a bit of an eye-opener, wasn't it?
Okay, so...
this is just not a theme park. This is a thing.
It's a lifestyle choice.
It is a lifestyle choice.
Exactly.
Okay, so if you had to pick one thing that was your absolute favorite Disney thing...
What?
It can be anything, but...
Oh, that's mean.
One thing.
It could be Disneyland?
Disney, how big can the thing be?
I would say go as small, like a Disney churro watching a parade.
Like, be specific.
Be specific. Something.
Do you know what I really loved? Was mint juleps.
That was one of my favorite things
was those mint juleps.
they have changed it a little bit, though, apparently.
Really?
Because the last time we had it was when it was still, like, when you look at it, it's, like, straight up, like, green. You know how it was, remember how it was like vibrant green color? I guess it's like clear now, and I think they changed up the recipe a little bit.
Well, but, you know, in honor of science, I am willing to go and try.
Yeah, I'm still going to try. Because actually that's something I had never done all the times going before. Taylor and I decided to say, like, we haven't had the mint juleps before. And you see the lineup all the time, right?
Yeah.
By the restaurant.
They're very popular.
And it's very popular. So we went and we got the Mickey beignets and two mint juleps. And that was like...
That's a good one.
And
that's a good one, Taylor.
As soon as we had the one.
So are you wanting to just get a mint julep? What do you want to do with your mint julep?
Well, I don't know.
Do you want to just like hang out?
Go sit in the tea room.
I love that.
With the mint julep.
Yeah.
Actually, when I went to Disneyland when I was 12 with my grandparents, that's one distinct memory I have. Is that tiki room?
Yeah.
And being like, what is this?
Tiki room.
Love it so much.
I love the tiki room.
I think that really changed it for me because I've been, I'd been to like Callaway Park and I almost thought it was just like a, like Six Flags type thing.
Oh, okay.
And then when we went in the tiki room, I was like, okay, this is more than just a.
This is not just an amusement park.
Yeah,
it's
exactly. I think that tiki room really opened my eyes for that.
I like that. Yeah. I like that moment when you're like, oh, no, this is a thing. Okay, this is a thing. Yeah. Trevor, what about you?
Yeah, what
would be your one thing?
it's tough.
It's very tough. I don't know. One
mint
of my favorite...
Mint julep in the tiki room is a good one.
Yeah, it is a good one.
That's a very tough thing to try and decide on. One thing I really enjoy doing, and this sounds weird, but it's never at the end of the trip, but it's at the end of a night when you leave the park and you're walking down the walkway, because we would stay at the... What is
park
it?
Park
Inn. Yeah, Best Western Park Place Inn.
Yeah, it's one of the Good Neighbor hotels. Yeah. It's literally
and
right
it's,
across
it's
the street.
It's right across from the
Yeah,
off of Harbor Boulevard there. And then so, like, I always really enjoy that walkway there, but not even necessarily at the end of the night, because, like, on the whole walk there, it's like a 5-minute walk to the main gates from that intersection. And, like, the whole time all you hear is just, like, the instrumental Disney music going on the whole time.
Esplanade, yeah.
And then you go into the Esplanade area and you hear that whole time and... I don't know. I think that's kind of like one of my favorite things. I don't know. It sounds weird.
They do very good at
really
setting
good.
The mood with music
at
Disneyland.
Really
like,
do.
In first thing in the morning, it's all upbeat, and then in the evening, it's like kind of calmer, and like you're winding your day down.
Yeah, they do a very good job.
The kids are sleeping on their parents' shoulders.
Yeah. I have memories of our other brother, Michael, being a toddler and falling asleep while my dad was piggybacking him coming from Disneyland.
I don't know if I've told you this or not, but I had gone, because you remember how Dad was always, and Mom too, but Dad, especially with the VHS VCR video recorder that he had on his shoulder all the time, the big one.
The huge one,
So,
that would not fit in my lunch fly bag.
starting this last Christmas, I ended up getting an adapter to hook between a VCR machine and my computer to digitize all the old VHS tapes throughout all the years.
Right.
And there's one that I came across where the whole tape was all just the one Disneyland trip. This was before I was born, and so it was Krista and Michael.
I was 6, Michael was 4.
Yeah.
They surprised us and drove down to Disneyland while we didn't know.
That's adorable.
Now, is that the trip where Mom was saying where you guys were sleeping, you had no idea that you were even there, and you're across the street at, like, Denny's having breakfast or something.
We didn't know.
And they had no idea, and Mom said, you guys better eat your breakfast, and they're kind of being... A little bit hesitant and bratty, and then Mom said, if you don't finish your breakfast, you don't get to go to Disneyland.
And we're like, sure.
And then they made him like, no, seriously, look out the window. And the Disneyland sign was right there.
And then they realized that they should have said that afterwards because we almost choked on our food, eating so fast. No, we were upset because we had driven down and we had been in Vegas. And we liked all the lights and the excitement and stuff like that. Like, we were kids. We weren't doing anything crazy in Vegas. And my mom was like, hey, well, my parents were like, we got to go for a drive. We have a ways to go. We're going to go see some cactus in the desert. And we're like, who cares about stupid cactus in the desert? Turns out they were like, we have to go because we're supposed to be in Disneyland. So that was a way long. That was like, California Adventure didn't exist. You literally would park across the street from Disneyland. And they pulled up across the street from the old vintage letters that came down.
Oh,
like
that old sign was gorgeous. Yeah.
Yeah, and so when we looked out the window, that's what we saw, and we started choking on our pancakes or whatever.
Okay, so Trevor's favorite Disney thing is like the satisfying walk back to the hotel after a well-done day at the parks.
Knowing you get to go back the next day.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know if it's like my absolute favorite thing, but it's a thing that comes to mind right now.
Yeah,
that's a good
like
memory. Yeah.
That's a good gut reaction.
Because it's kind of like the relaxing point of the day when you're just like, oh, that was awesome success.
So I did it.
You're
right,
carrying like some merch bag. Yeah. And
Krista, I want to hear yours.
So before I said that one of my favorite things, actually similar to what Taylor's was, I said I want to grab a Dole Whip and sit in the tiki room.
Okay.
I don't want to do the same one.
No, don't copy.
Want to do the same one. I'm going to get a churro.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I got it. Okay. It is 15 minutes before closing, and I have a churro in hand, and I've just come off Haunted Mansion, and I'm booking it to, which isn't that far, but anyway, a Pirate, so I can make sure I do my two favorite rides, very last thing of night, so I have to be in line for that, and I'm standing in line eating my churro to having just come off that ride going to the next. Followed closely by Walking Under the Sun, when you first arrive. Here you leave today, enter the world.
Very good.
That's a very good one. I remember one trip, we were the last people on Pirates.
Yeah, we did that.
It was really cool.
The only time we've been in Disneyland together, we were the last people on Pirates.
Yeah, and we left Haunted Mansion thinking that was our last one. We saw Pirates was open for like 2 more minutes.
Yeah.
The cast member was like closing the ropes, and she was like,
they're so good.
Do you remember, Krista, because there was one time that we went, and I think you were there, where we were the last people on Haunted Mansion.
Yes.
And I remember we were the only family. There was 4 of us, like, in the elevator going down. And I remember the lights all went off. And then the cast member who was the ghost host, or not the ghost host, but the guy and the cast member in the elevator. And he, like, moved around and he stood behind. Was it Dad?
He hid behind Dad and jump out.
Dad.
Yeah. So you were probably too young to remember this, but I was standing by Mom and Dad, and he asked, he pointed at you and Brittany and said, do they scare easily? Because he wanted to jump out and scare you guys, but he didn't want to, like,
didn't
a screaming child. And we're like, they're fine. Hit behind Dad and jumped out and scared him.
And I remember getting off the elevator and then, like, going down the hallway and being, like, kind of almost creeped out because we were the only people in, like, the hallway. And then in the dune buggies, there's nobody in front of you. And so we got on, like, into the buggies and stuff, and like it seemed like we were the only people on that ever rode the whole ride ever.
Wow, yeah, you have a good memory. That was a long time ago. You were very young.
I've heard you tell the story like many times.
I know, it's because it's really cool. It's when we talk about like favorite cast member memories, that's one of them.
Yeah, definitely.
What about you? What's your favorite thing?
My favorite thing at Disneyland, it's kind of lame, but I love rope drop and.
Oh, yeah.
Power walk, because you're not allowed to run. Not allowed to run. Don't run. No running. Power walking to your favorite thrill ride, whether that's Space Mountain or Big Thunder or
Tiki
Pirates.
Small World?
No.
No.
But no, rope drop, and you have the whole day ahead of you, and you're going to get on that first ride that's normally lined up for an hour or 2 hours. You're going to get in there, and you're going to be the first one on.
Yeah. That's a good one.
I love that.
That's a good one.
I love that.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, my question is to everybody here is, at rope drop, if you were to power to one ride,
A good question.
And it can either be in from either your favorite ride standpoint or like efficiency standpoint.
Oh, just say it's rope drop and we're there in the morning, where are we wanting to go?
So I will say, to start off, my first choice, because it's terrible to wait in that line the rest of any time of the day, is Peter Pan's Flight.
Oh, but it's one that
I never want to miss that ride. I have to go on that ride at least once.
And it's not a thrill ride, so you don't think about it, but that is a terrible lineup.
That's a really good one to do early in the morning. I don't know if I would rope drop it.
I would maybe.
But you definitely want to go to Fantasyland early in the day before the kids are out of bed.
Or you could do like Matterhorn, then Peter Pan.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah, that line sucks.
We literally did all of Fantasyland when we were in Disneyland together.
We did?
In like an hour and a half.
Yeah, I was going to say like half the time.
The biggest thing is Matterhorn and then Peter Pan's Flight. And then like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride almost is always just like 10 minutes.
Yeah, but it's so good.
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride is my like sneaky favorite dark ride.
I think it's actually like I like Peter Pan's Flight because they did such a good job with
it. Yeah, they really
but
did.
As
and
far
it's
as
an
like
original.
And as far as Fantasyland dark rides go, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride is probably one of my favorites as well.
And it's a Disneyland exclusive. Like they don't have that.
They took it. They took it out in Disney World. Yeah. They used to have one. And
they did.
They replaced it with
Winnie the
Pooh.
Taylor, what would you rope drop?
I don't know. Maybe Small World to get my spirits up for the day or
something.
Oh, like that. Okay, we are here. It is a very Disney.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a super Disney moment.
Super Disney time.
And that lineup isn't always good, too.
I cry on it all the time because I think it's so cute.
I love Small World.
You have a story about Small World with the first time you went with your grandparents.
Well, my grandma used to cry all the time on it.
Really?
Yeah, and I thought it was so nice, and then now I cry.
And I
think about her crying.
This is going off on a little bit of a tangent, but because of Small World.
Yeah, that's basically 90% of what we do.
But the Small World thing with her grandma, I knew this. She had told me about it because we had never been to Disneyland in Anaheim before, but Disneyland Paris was the first Disneyland that we had gone to.
Right.
And so I remember her saying, like, I loved It's a Small World because my grandma would cry on it, and like it just makes me so happy and stuff like that. I mean, because she would
like
cry because she's happy.
Happy tears.
Happy tears.
It's like it's so cute.
It was happy tears.
Was a crying sad.
Oh my god! So, like I don't understand. I don't think you understand how much I'm gonna like randomly cry at Disneyland.
Yeah.
But then with that knowledge that I had acquired from the stories, I decided that like, well, we gotta make sure we go to Small World in Disneyland Paris. We did. And, like, about halfway through the ride broke down. And this is the first time I think I've ever been on a ride where it, like, full-out broke down.
Where you had to walk off.
Out of all the years. And so, like, I remember the cast members were coming through in hip waders and, like, or chest waders, I guess, even.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming down in the water and they're, like, trying to move the boats. The one thing that was kind of nice was that they turned off the music so we weren't sitting there for an hour listening to the same part of the song over and over again.
But the animatronics were still moving.
Yeah.
That would be kind of terrible.
That was straight out of a horror movie as well. But then I remember they got us out. They got us to like an emergency exit thing where we got to step out of the boat. They helped us out of the boat. And then we walked through this back. And that was kind of a weird thing because like we went through the back like cast members, like emergency exit kind of thing. And like we're like in the back lot area where there's like work trucks and
See backstage.
Yeah, it's all the backstage area. Yeah. And so that was really interesting. Yeah. But they did give us each a free fast pass for any ride of our choosing.
Like not even a fast pass.
It
was a front of line pass.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a good one.
And we were trying to discuss on what ride it was that we went on, but we couldn't quite agree. I kind of for some reason thought Space Mountain or something.
You have such a good memory.
What did you think?
I thought it was Thunder Mountain.
But it could have been Thunder Mountain, too.
Good choice.
Yeah.
It would have been one of the roller coaster type things
because
they had the longer lines.
But we were planning on
And those two rides were two of the longest lines when we were there. So back to where we were at.
Good. Yeah. So we've been on rides that have broken down, but we've never had to walk off.
No.
That's cool. That's actually on a bucket list item of mine.
Walk off.
It has, like, not something that I've never ridden before. I don't want to do that, but something I've ridden multiple times and things like that. Small World maybe, although that sounds terrifying with the dolls.
I do not want to get stuck on Small World. I'm just saying that right now.
That is the one ride you don't want to get stuck on.
But it's a world of laughter.
Than, like, getting stuck on a roller coaster
upside
down. No, you don't want to get stuck upside down. No.
Yes. No, I could not handle that. Brandon, what are you rope dropping? Trevor, I like that question that Trevor asked.
It's probably Big Thunder.
Really? Okay.
It's probably Big Thunder, closely followed by Space Mountain.
Yeah,
one of those.
Are good ones.
One of those two. One of those two.
I definitely think that Big Thunder was like more so than Space Mountain is like the better in between of like Disney theming and thrill ride.
Yeah,
it's not really like a crazy thrill ride, but it's like part. That but also like way more theming to it and
yeah.
stuff where it's like Space Mountain, it's like the cool theming and stuff to it and it's a little bit more of a thrill for sure, but like Big Thunder was like the kind of the perfect in between
yeah.
to me.
The thing I love about Big Thunder is literally everybody has fun on it.
Yeah,
like I remember holding my arm out to keep either you or Brittany, I don't remember which one, like down because you were big enough to ride, but you used to like lift off the seat
yeah.
all the time, and so that was exciting. And you had, you know, older people like giggling and squealing and stuff, teenagers
yeah.
and stuff on it. Everyone can have fun on Big Thunder.
It's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
Yahoo.
Yahoo.
And because of the crazy theming. Yeah.
yeah.
Good question, Trevor. I like that one. Okay, I actually, we were talking favorite Disney things. I have. I think this is my last question for you guys, actually. What's your favorite Disney movie? That's generally how Disney nerds are made, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
Disney movie or show or whatever.
That now includes Star Wars and Pixar and Marvel.
I'm going to start with Brandon.
Oh.
After you just named that all
so,
off.
Yeah.
So, out of all of those?
Yep. Everything. Anything Disney owns.
Now that Disney, like, it wasn't an original Disney property. But the original Star Wars movie is
okay.
always going to hold a special place
a
in my
hope.
Heart. But if we're going, like, things that Disney actually made for themselves...
Yep.
Probably Great Mouse Detective, just as a sneaky...
When we did the 80s, you didn't even pick that as your favorite 80s movie.
I did so.
No, you did not. You picked Little Mermaid.
I mean, Little Mermaid's maybe a better movie, but, like, I don't know.
Okay.
It has a special place
Great
in my
Mouse
heart.
Detective, okay. Mm. Was that what Trevor was going to
pick? I was going to say that. I was totally
hey,
Trevor,
hey,
you have amazing
high five.
Taste.
Yeah.
Trevor, you have awesome taste. That is a fantastic
movie. I love that movie.
Well, I'll pick a different... Well, you guys go first.
No, we stole yours, so you can go ahead. That way no one else will steal your second one.
So, yeah. So, I guess second choice off the top of my head would be Robin Hood.
Oh, that's
good
a
good
one.
One. Good
yeah.
one. I love
Roger
it.
Miller's soundtrack is great, and then just like that whole era of like that, like it's kind of like a cool era for a Disney movie.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
And stuff, and it's just like the humor in it and everything, and the theming of it all is really interesting.
You watch that as an adult, and you're like, wait, what?
Yeah, it's actually hilarious to watch as an adult. Yeah.
We're putting on Robin Hood for a panto here in town, and they're like, "Do we have any suggestions for songs?" And I said, "Look, you have to include Oodalali."
Yeah.
And they're like, what? And so I'm talking about it. They're all like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like,
really?
You're all wrong. You're all terrible people.
Really? Yeah.
And I got flustered.
They are including it, though.
Well, I said they should, but I'm not I'm not the director, so who knows? Good choice.
Gotta do Oodalali and not Nottingham.
Oh,
that's
so good.
Two of the best soundtrack songs.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. Yeah. Good choice. I
as
like
far
that
as
well.
A Pixar movie goes, I will say a Pixar favorite.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like, Brandon, I, for some reason, think that you're going to disagree with this. Monsters, Inc.
Hmm. Oh, that's a good...
Yeah.
I like Monsters, Inc.
I like
Monsters,
Inc., but for some reason I think I've heard Brandon
yeah.
on like maybe a previous podcast before.
I don't dislike Monsters, Inc. I just think it's slightly overrated.
Whereas I think it's
yeah.
underrated.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. This is a disagreement. We usually have similar favorites. This
yeah.
is a disagreement we have.
I like Monsters, Inc. That's one of my favorite Disney
Have you watched Monsters at Work yet?
I haven't yet.
I watched the first episode.
I'm excited. Did you like it?
Yeah, it was good.
So you
yeah.
converted Disney nerd. She
yeah,
watched
yeah.
it even before I got
yeah.
it.
There you go.
Yeah, it was good. So,
yeah.
first episode.
Taylor, what's your favorite Disney movie?
My favorite Pixar movie is WALL-E.
Yeah.
Like I said, but actually my favorite Disney movie, just because, like, memories and remember watching it here, is Mulan.
No, that's a good one.
Interesting.
I really like Mulan.
Mulan is one
just...
of, like, a serious... We just talked about badass female Disney characters. And yeah.
I remember being a kid and watching her, like, chop off her hair, and I'm pretty sure I cut my hair afterwards.
What
like,
did you think about the live-action remake?
I didn't hate it, but there's no jokes, there's no songs.
It is a lot different.
The problem I had with it was I watched the movie first. Like, I watched... animated, and then I was like, oh, let's get down. And then I watched the live action, and I was waiting for the songs to come.
Yeah, no,
and they never came.
The no. songs never came.
They, like, hinted at it with the score.
Yeah, they did.
And they do, like, four bars of music in the score of the film. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, you can't do that and not play the...
I know, it's just a teaser. Yeah. But maybe people prefer no music.
I don't know. I thought they chickened out. Because it was like they started to go like kung fu movie,
yeah.
And if they had just totally embraced it and gone with it, then I would have been on board.
Full bore kung fu.
The only thing I got mad at,
straight up,
they took up my very favorite scene
yeah.
and replaced it with something that made me really angry. Mm. So my very favorite scene is in the animated one where she makes it to the top of the pole by using her brains.
Yeah.
And, like, a little bit of strength. She's not strong.
Yeah.
But she just, like, in the live action, when she just, like, magically is able to do this big run. And it's, like, but the whole point was that...
Oh, like the water bucket.
Yes.
Yeah. In the movie, they do the pull.
Yes. And the whole point was that,
and
like,
she
looked
brains,
at things
yeah.
from a different way. And that was how she was affected. So, anyway, that, changing that made me... upset
yeah,
because
so
I love that part.
As far as the live action remakes go, I prefer the ones where they go in a slightly different direction, because the original movie still exists. So if you just like remake
yeah,
it shot for
yeah.
shot, it's
then what's the point?
It's not going to be as good as the original. So yeah. why bother?
Except
so,
like, Lion King, we liked.
Lion King was fine.
As a quick question, what was your favorite remake of a, like live remake? Then
oh, we have an episode about
we
that.
Do we do check that out. But mine was Jungle Book.
Mine is Jungle Book too.
By
a considerable
yeah.
margin.
Yeah,
I'm kind of like I have to add Cruella to this list now.
Cruella is actually not bad.
I have not seen Cruella.
Yeah, yeah. My favorite Disney movie is probably Beauty and the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
Although growing up, it was Pocahontas.
Beauty and the Beast.
And then I have a soft spot for Cinderella.
Beauty and the Beast is probably the best made one.
Yeah, my
like,
favorite.
Objectively. But...
You're kidding. She's like still gets to be a princess and she's a huge book nerd, but she also isn't like passive and lie there. So I like Beauty and the Beast, and it has amazing music.
She speaks to you.
She does. I like, I want to aspire to be Belle. as far as
hey,
other owned things.
I got you a library.
You bought me a library.
And now you love me forever.
That's
so,
true. It's totally yeah. that.
So you're basically Belle.
Was that not the theme of Beauty and the Beast? Mm. You can do whatever as long as you buy her a library.
He even has lamb chops on his
He does have lamb chops.
I'm a little beastly sometimes.
I was going to say the mutton chops kind of make you look a little beastly.
Oh,
yeah.
Mutton chops.
No, I call them lamb chops too. That's so funny. As far as other own Pixar, I'm going to agree with you that I think Wall-E is my favorite. Although I have a special spot in my heart for Up as well.
Oh, yeah.
Up is adorable.
I
and then Toy Story. Toy Story.
And Toy Story.
The Toy Story trilogy, because the fourth one
yeah.
doesn't exist.
That's
is
right.
We've
decided the fourth one doesn't exist. And as far as other owned properties, I really love Rogue One.
Yeah.
I really love. Okay, oh, WandaVision.
Oh.
See, really, this is the problem I have. I don't pick favorites.
You're not good at favorites, no. You're not.
Okay, Beauty and the Beast, full stop.
I really like Rogue One, too. That's
yeah.
probably my one of my favorites.
That was one of
That's
the better,
Star Wars,
better so. Executed Star Wars things to happen since almost the original, well, since the original trilogy.
Brandon says the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, Rogue One is impeccable.
Yeah, yeah, I love Rogue One. Doesn't hurt the actor in it.
you do like yourself some Diego.
I do like Diego Luna a lot. But that's not why it's my favorite. It just doesn't hurt. I'm really excited to see the Cassian series. Not
yeah.
because of that. I just think it's going to be cool to explore that world. Good options all around. Oh, yeah. Aw. I want to go ride Small World now. During COVID, Brandon was talking to his friend, and they were like, oh, well, if Chris is missing it, she could just like go and listen to Small World. Brandon's like, don't tell her that. She's going to go listen to Small World on repeat for like an hour.
He has also been stuck on Small World and now hates that ride because they did not turn off the music.
And all of a sudden, Brad, I get a text from Brandon who was downstairs, and because he could hear me playing Small World over upstairs. Anything else to add about like marrying into a Disney nerd family or being a Disney nerd or growing up that way?
So one of Trevor's
your
most
words carefully.
One of Trevor's most sweetest things is how like into it just see little like I see Trevor's like childhood heart come out when he talks about Disney, if that makes sense. He's rolling his eyes,
yeah.
but it's true.
That's what Disney's about. It's,
yeah.
it's embracing your inner child.
Yeah,
I
think.
Trevor, you also like history and stuff like that.
I like to think I do, yes.
You know, I'm going to recommend something that costs money, which is, you know, already tough when you're spending so much at Disney. I haven't done it. I just really want to. The Walking in Walt's Footsteps tour.
Yeah, I've always been intrigued by getting one of those tours. I've never done any of the tours there, but I think it'd be very interesting.
That sounds awesome to me.
Yeah, it sounds really good.
Well, I think they get kind of some perks doing it, too. Like, I think you kind of...
They skip some lines and stuff like that.
And stuff, and...
They make it worth your while.
Yeah.
Yeah, you pay for it, but you make it.
Yeah, and I think it's like a half-day thing or something.
Yeah, I think it's one thing that every, like, serious Disney fan should do once in their life.
Yeah.
That's also on my Disney bucket list.
That's on your Disney bucket list? I would love to see Club 33, but...
Oh, man.
We need... Our podcast needs to get a lot more popular.
That's true.
And then maybe we can make some friends that have access to Club 33.
Absolutely, because that is a good bucket list item. Drive the monorail? Well, no, you can be in the front room where they drive the monorail.
Okay.
Yeah. Or be in the Lilybell on the train.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'd rather do the train than the
monorail. Yeah. If I had to choose, I would do the train.
I don't know if they still do, but I know that if you used to ask on the Mark Twain, they let you get up into the...
Yep. Yeah. That's a good one. They let you toot the horn sometimes. Yeah. If you're nice and you're in the right spot at the right time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great Disney bucket
list
item.
Yeah, that's a good item. And then one I was going to cross off in April... Was canceled. was I want to do Dapper Days at Disneyland?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of always wanted to do since I've
I got the chops for the Dapper Days. Come on.
Since I heard it was a thing, I've always wanted to do the 24-hour things that they do, like those events where they do the 24-hour.
Yeah, so Florida used to do a lot of those. Yeah. I haven't done one for several years
now. I would love the challenge, because I feel like I could do 24 straight hours.
Yeah, it's almost like I could go to bed after.
In that vein, I want to do the Gumball Rally.
Oh, the Gumball Rally is a good one. Do you know what the Gumball Rally is?
I don't think I do.
It's an unofficial event, but what it is you're supposed to ride every ride in Disneyland as fast as possible.
Yeah, so you, like, make a team. But you all have to be in at this, like, you can't just, I'm going to go here, you go here. Like, you have to ride every ride.
Everybody has to ride every ride. And, like, if someone on your team can't ride that ride for whatever reason, they just stand outside of it. But they have to be there.
Yeah.
And it's this unofficial event, and you keep track of how many rides you've ridden, and you get points for every ride, and how fast you're done.
Yep.
And it's this whole thing, and I want to do it.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Kind of sounds like every trip I've ever been on.
I mean, that is how I do
it. But you would get points for it.
But you get points for it, and then you get a banquet at the end, and it's fun.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Except with gold stickers.
Exactly, yeah.
Have you seen Modern Family?
Sorry, yes, love that. Modern Family.
Have you seen when Jay talks about the Lincoln Memorial?
That's actually one of my favorite shows.
Have you seen that? He talks about how he took his kids there and he was going to leave his wife that night, and then he went to, like, the Lincoln at the very end, and then he heard, like, Lincoln's speech, and so he decided to stay with his wife.
Until his kids were old enough and moved out.
And then Gloria came, so that was worth that.
Yeah. Modern Family's a great show.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it's
that?
Like season 3, and they have the whole episode just in Disneyland. It's kind of cool.
Aww.
Yeah, they have several vacation episodes, which is great.
Yeah. That great moments with Mr. Lincoln, that's got to be one of my favorite. Like, show things to go see, too.
That animatronic, like, considering how old that animatronic is, it's incredible.
It still actually freaks me out, because, like, I remember one of the first times I saw it, I'm like, that's got to be a real man up there.
What's he doing? What's that guy doing? No, audio animatronics, the one that gets me every time is still Tiki Room.
Tiki, 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 Tiki Room.
I think that's probably our show for today.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, you guys.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I stopped Brandon from singing.
Our inaugural guest.
Yes, that's true.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we hope you had fun.
Yes, that was good. That was good, yes. Right.
Well, speaking of, thanks, El Mule, who's responsible for our custom theme song you hear at the top of every show.
Yes, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So you can find a link to his work at our website at disneya.wixsite.com/podcast. You can also find us on social media, Instagram at disneya.podcast, Facebook at disneya, and Twitter at disneyapodcast. You can find disneya episodes on all of your favorite streaming platforms, and please review our podcast specifically on Apple Podcasts. If you write us a nice review, we will read it online. On the air, not online. We will read it on the episode.
If you leave us a mean review, Crystal will cry.
She will. It'll be sad.
It'll be a whole thing. Yeah. You can also listen to our newest episodes on our new YouTube channel, Adventures A, where, hey, you can also hear that custom theme song. You can also listen to Disney A episodes on Magic of the Mouse Radio, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 3:30 p.m. Eastern. And you can listen to Magic of the Mouse Radio on radio station apps. You can also listen to sounds and music of Disneyland on Magic of the Mouse Radio, which we are proud to bring you. Hey, Trevor, you can listen to that while you're driving around and stuff. Oh, I'm going to interrupt this. Trevor, what's your favorite Disneyland-type music? Like instrumental, background-type music?
That's a good question.
Since you listen to it randomly, apparently.
Since he listens to it while driving.
That's a very good question. I don't know. I like all of the theme music behind the Fantasyland, like the Fantasyland Fairy Tales.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
I do like that, like the medleys and all that. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I like that one.
I don't know. I like all the land.
Like the background ambiance?
All the sweet music and stuff, yeah.
Cool. Well, you can listen to that kind of stuff on Magic of the Mouse Radio. Join us next week. We're going to return to our recurring Through the Decades series to chat about the 1990s. Oh, boy.
Oh, that's our wheelhouse.
Oh, boy. We might have to break that up into two episodes.
We're also running out of decades.
We are. We might have to break up the 90s into two episodes, though.
I think so.
Okay, so 90s part one.
From 90s part one, yeah.
So I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
And this is Taylor and Trevor.
Hello.
Signing off.
Till the next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney A.
I do not like the term Disney freak.